From the land to Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 25th day of April, 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. A bit later in the program, Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net will join us from his offices in Farmstead there in Windsor, Illinois. And as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Mike Tenuri. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Along the way, we'll hear all about the plant diseases that farmers using no-till conservation tillage and cover crops might encounter this spring. They're the same as the ones their conventional tillage counterparts will come across, but may show up in greater intensity. There are also some diseases that are less prevalent in cover crops and no-till situations. We'll hear about that from Nathan Klucheski. He's the Illinois plant doc or plant pathologist from right here on the U of I campus, and we'll do that on this Thursday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, to take a look at the marketplace for the afternoon. Hey, good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks so much. I hear you're in the midst of sunshine there in Houston, Texas today.
Yes, we got a beautiful day in Houston. We did have a little rain last night, but the heavy rain in Texas was all from Waco on up into the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Waco, we got like 4 inches of rain in like about an hour. I mean, it just poured down. So it's very wet in the northern, at least in that area. And then that big thunderstorm cluster moved on eastward as it went into Arkansas and Louisiana.
So the gray skies that are here have moved in, and they reflect a lot about how the producer and the farmer and agriculture is feeling at this point. Is there any good news on the horizon that you can see?
Nothing that's going to turn things around immediately. I mean, we're at the point when we look at balance sheets, whether it's the U.S. balance sheet or even the world balance sheet, and what's coming at us. That's maybe not even recorded on the balance sheets yet. The only thing that's really going to turn this thing around is a big drop in production prospects, I think, in the U.S. Now, a real favorable trade deal could give us a good short-term boost in prices if China did get aggressive buyer all at once and it all kind of came forward. That would give us a big boost. But at this point, we're kind of waiting around, I think, to see whether or not this 2019 weather pattern is going to begin to nick up prospects enough to change that balance sheet. And we're kind of getting down, you know, we're biting fingernails now. I mean, May 1st is going to be right upon us here next week. I guess I'll be interesting to see how much planting did occur. I know there is some going on, but probably not at the pace it needs to be come Monday to see how far behind we are when we start looking at the May 1 crop prospects. And then you look at what's going on in the northern Corn Belt and the northwestern Corn Belt. It does look like planting is not going to be very timely this year. Now, how far off base is going to be, we still have that to play out over the next week or two. But I would think one of these days the market is going to take hold of that and take notice of it. I think today's bounce was more of a short covering bounce off of a very steep decline that we've had in the past week anyway. It's been declining all month, but the last 5-7 days here, we've seen some pretty steep declines. So the technical indicators all got oversold, and it is toward the end of the month. And we got to keep in mind that the market is commission driven. If it wasn't for commissions, there wouldn't be a Chicago Board of Trade or a CEM group. And what we're seeing here is today is we're seeing the shorts take some profits. We're probably seeing some technical people trying to probe the long side of this market based upon oversold technical conditions. Probably some fundamentalists are maybe wanting to probe the long side based upon delayed planting or the prospects of delayed planting. That's kind of what we're waiting around for. I think from a technical point of view, it would take a pretty good rally tomorrow to come back for a higher weekly finish. But if we would show some meaningful follow through on today's reversals tomorrow, that would at least be an encouraging sign that we're going to have a little rally here to start off the month of May. And we'll see what planting report kind of tells us and what the weather maps kind of imply early next week as the month of May begins.
Where are the old crop support levels for corn and soybeans?
What I look at, I think we're probably, I watch the cash market, the cash prices to help me on the cycles, to kind of help me keep me on target or where I think the cycles are at, because the futures market gives you some distortions and it's a little noisy. Now, if you look at the cash markets on both corn and soybeans, as of yesterday's closes and since we closed higher today, my guess is maybe some of that is lost in basis, but the cash prices should have closed higher here today in Central Illinois. Both cash corn and cash soybeans, Central Illinois average, was at the 50% retracement level of the advance they had out of their August low or September low, that mid-September low, up to the high that we had basically in the first part of December. And then we kind of traded sideways here forever. Now, this week is when we kind of broke out of that sideways trading range. But as of last night, we are at a 50% retracement level, which is a support point, at least initially. It's more important probably on the corn chart than it probably is on the soybean chart. The soybean chart, 50% usually doesn't stop a soybean decline. It's either a 38% or a 62%. So a 62% retracement would take Central Illinois cash prices down around the $7.95, $8 range for support point. When you take a look at Central Illinois cash corn prices, let me punch it up here. Central Illinois cash corn prices, the support point at 50% is going to be about $3.25 or something like that. I guess we did close above it a couple points last night, but the 50% retracement level from that September low up to the late November high is somewhere around that 324, 325 area. And I would say that's the initial support point. Hopefully we can get some kind of recovery rally out of that, but we first need to kind of consolidate. Maybe show a little follow through on today's reversals to the upside, and we might then have a chance then to kind of post a rally, you know, kind of into the at least through May, or at least hold steady through May. I'm inclined that we will have a little bounce during the month of May, and that could maybe take us into June on corn. May, I'm not too sure about on soybeans. I think soybeans might be in bigger trouble, and we might not get too much of a bounce in soybeans. And I guess that it kind of makes sense. If the market starts worrying about corn plantings, then it's going to be kind of bearish on soybean plantings. So corn would get the bounce. Beans would probably stay under pressure. They wouldn't necessarily go lower, but it would be hard to get soybeans to bounce during the month of May if the corn planters aren't rolling, and unless we get a trade deal announcement. And I don't know when that's going to come. Maybe you have better information than I do.
I do not. I wish I did. I really wish I did. But I don't know. It's been so quiet the last couple of weeks. It's disturbingly quiet. And either there's a big announcement coming or things have failed miserably. And I'm not sure which one it is. I know You know, Lighthizer's been busy with other trade deals at this point. And he'll go next week, or at the end of this week, I guess next week, he'll head to China. So we'll probably start to hear more again. Maybe it's just a lull. It's surprising that the president hasn't tweeted about it at some point. He usually does. So we're in a wait and see situation at this time.
Oh, I'm optimistic that it's coming. It's just, I guess, when it's going to come. I mean, I would have thought we would have heard something by now. So I'm kind of at the outer edge of my bandwidth. I thought the announcement would come. So, we'll just have to kind of see. Right now, the markets, like I said, we're focused on overall world supply is plenty large. We've got a lot of competition out there. But our weekly export sales were halfway reasonable. I would like to see them much stronger than what they are. We'll have to see what the growing season weather kind of starts out. And I think the clock really begins to start counting here next week once we hit May 1st. If we don't have very much of the crop planted by May 1st, and as you and the guys there at Illinois say, we need at least 14 days. If we had ideal weather from May 1st on, we'd have the crop planted by May 15th. But if we don't get started until May 15th, well, then it's June 1st, and that would change things a little bit.
Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again next week.
Okay, Todd.
That's Dan Zwicker. He is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. In today's agricultural news, Bayer has appealed the first verdict in a series of cases claiming that the company's products containing glyphosate, Roundup, are to blame for thousands of plaintiffs' cancer diagnosis. Last year, a California jury had ordered the company to pay $289 million to Dwayne Johnson, a former groundskeeper, who argued his cancer was caused by repeated use of Bayer's weed killer Roundup. The company has requested that the appellate court either rule in its favor or order a new trial. Attorneys representing Johnson have 35 days to respond to the appeal. Oral arguments in the appeal are not expected to take place until the fall at the earliest. In an unusual development, Bayer filed, along with the appeal, a motion for judicial notice, which is a procedural move to get particular information added to the legal record. Bayer has a problem with certain public communications after the verdict was made, which it says were an attempt to influence the judge's ruling on post-trial motions that included the company's request to strip the jury award amount. After the jury's decision, the Superior Court judge, who oversaw the case, issued a tentative ruling stating the plaintiffs had failed to show enough compelling evidence of malice on Bayer's part to support awarding punitive damages. Let's turn our attention now to trade talks. Negotiations have been picking back up as U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer today meets with the Japanese economy minister. Discussions are expected to continue Friday as Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe arrives in Washington to meet President Donald Trump. The White House hopes to secure concessions on agriculture similar to those in the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which Trump pulled out of in 2017. Japan has agreed to work out a pact that grants market access to U.S. farm goods, but not beyond levels in previous trade deals. Also, USMCA's long road to ratification is underway. The Trump administration's campaign to build support for the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement will ramp up once Congress returns from recess, fueled by last week's release of the ITC's Economic Impact Report. But plenty needs to happen before lawmakers can actually vote on the agreement. And finally today, you may have already heard about this, but there was an anhydrous leak from a rig that was running through Beach Park, Illinois. That's a suburb north of Chicago, nearly to the line, actually, with Wisconsin. 37 were hospitalized in that leak. It happened at 4:30 a.m. as the farmer, the tractor, and the anhydrous rig were transitioning through town. It's a good reminder that safety comes first and that you need to give a wide berth to farmers and the trucks and tractors that are working to put a crop in the ground this spring. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You know, farmers using conservation cropping systems face a series of different pests than their conventional tillage counterparts. Crop residues are a great breeding ground for many overwintering plant diseases, says University of Illinois plant pathologist Nathan Klucheski.
A lot of these diseases, such as gray leaf spot, northern corn leaf blight in corn, frog eye leaf spot in soybeans, some of those stem cankers as well that we see in soybeans, and then also in wheat would be the leaf blotch complexes, so the Septoria, Stagonospora, tan spot, that group. All of those are going to be organisms that are overwintering on residue from the previous crop. And the more residue that you have in those situations, for example, if you're doing corn on corn on corn, no-till, all that corn residue, that's going to basically bulk up the initial inoculum load within that field.
The more residue in the field, the more potential, says Klucheski, to seed diseases throughout the growing season. And now cover crops, he says, are a little tricky because there's so many different mixes farmers use. Some, those that include a legume in the mix, can host a disease that might be found in soybeans. The grassy cover crops can host diseases found on wheat. These are called green bridges. They allow a disease to survive better. However, some cover crops have the opposite effect.
Sure, yeah, and that's a very good question because we have a lot of interest in cover crops, but what we know in terms of what they do for pathogens and pests is fairly limited. Some cover crops actually have been shown to be able to reduce, for example, pathogenic nematodes, soybean cyst nematodes, some other nematodes, and reduce populations that way. They are also some cover crops, for example, some of the brassicas, where you can actually grow them and then they can be used as a green mulch. And so when those are chopped and incorporated into the soil and a little bit of water thrown on top, they actually will produce chemicals that can fumigate the soil and actually can do a really good job of reducing some of those soil-borne pests and pathogens.
Nathan Klucheski is an extension plant pathologist at the University of Illinois. Let's check in now with Matt Bennett. He's at Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds, agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt. I suppose the rain's falling there, and you're not moving either, right?
Yeah, we've been sitting. It's been raining off and on all day. We haven't really had any downpours, but, geez, we got water standing pretty much a lot of places yet, and it's just wet. I mean, we're not going to be able to go. If that forecast that we've been looking at is, if it verifies the two-week forecast, you know, we're looking middle of May before we can even consider it.
Farmers are worried. I can't sell corn because it's just too low. They've got a lot of that. They can't plant corn because it's too wet. What should they do, in your opinion?
Well, like I told you before we got on here, I guess they play cards. I mean, I don't know what else to do. I mean, it's tough. I tell you what. Can't get jack squat done with the weather the way it is. You know, it's hard to haul anything. Nobody wants you on the roads. You know, it's just a tough deal right now, but I do think that if nothing else, it's an awfully good time if they haven't gotten everything locked down really good as far as their break evens, their marketing plan, some sort of a plan of action. I think they need to do so because this is awfully early in the year to have zero weather premium in the market. And, you know, what if they do get a chance at a rally in here, which we should get something at some point, they need to know exactly what they want to do with that.
So you're suggesting they take the time to sit down, figure out what their break-evens are, and then put some bids in at the elevator, I take it.
Well, yeah, I think they need to identify the levels that they might be at, first of all. Second of all, it's awfully early in the marketing year. I don't know that I want to get too aggressive this early, especially if I can't plant till late and I'm afraid of what my crop might look like. I think definitely need to be looking at the carry in this market. We traded up 32.25 today from beast to July. And that's a heck of a carry in the market. For someone that's got bins, they may need to take a pretty close look at that.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate your time, and we'll talk with you again soon.
All right. Thanks, bud.
Matt Bennett is with agmarket.net. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Thursday afternoon. We're now joined by Mike Tenura. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, there's a little bit of a sprinkle outside, or has been during the day today, and it's awful gray. But boy, it sure looks like rainfall is in the offing, not only for here, but for a lot of the Corn Belt. Can you tell me about that, please?
Well, we have a very stormy pattern that's coming up. There is an onslaught of weather systems that will move through over the next couple of weeks. And in fact, it's going to rain in some part of the central U.S. every day over the next 2 weeks. It's just a matter of who gets hit more than once or twice. That'll determine where the highest totals and the areas of river and field flooding develop. But we're pretty confident in this setup. We've been identifying the possibility of this weather pattern for about a week. And on Sunday and Monday, a couple of days ago, it still looked pretty good. And now it looks good still. So this is how you make a confident forecast. And we feel pretty good about it, especially over the next 10 days. We have a system that's moving through now. You already talked about that. That's bringing some rain to southern Illinois today. And it will bring quite a bit of rain to Indiana and Ohio and the southeast third to half of Illinois tonight. So this storm system is still getting going as we speak. Another system moves through the northern half of the Corn Belt Saturday, and then another one moves through the northern half of the Corn Belt Sunday. In fact, we could see 4 to 8 inches of snow across southern Wisconsin where corn and soybeans are produced. The snow won't stick around for very long, but that's pretty unusual stuff for this time of the year.
Cold weather, wet weather, neither of those are good for the beginning of the planting season. You gave us some snowfall amounts, but how much rainfall is involved in this process?
Well, once you add it up over the next 2 weeks, we're thinking we'll see 2.5 to 4.5 inches of rain across the Corn Belt and the Delta, and 1.25 to 2.5 inches of rain everywhere else. Some areas, of course, will get a little bit more and a little bit less, but just as a broad brush kind of total, that's what we're thinking it'll look like. And the reason we say that is because we can see that the northern U.S. will be fairly cool over the next 2 weeks. The southern U.S. will be fairly mild. That causes the jet stream to line up right through the middle part of the country. And on top of that, we have high pressure set up near Florida that causes southerly winds to pump in from the south, bring fuel to these storm systems in the form of humidity. And you put all these together. Again, it's not going to rain every single day at your location, but there will be areas of significant rainfall and thunderstorm clusters in different regions pretty much every single day for 2 more weeks. And we'll have to see exactly how that pans out. But at this point, it looks like the highest totals will be in the Corn Belt.
How badly does it stall the beginning of spring planting here in the United States?
Well, it certainly will. It's just a matter of how far behind it will get. I mean, as of Sunday, we had 6% of corn planted. If we assume 10 to maybe 15% got planted this week, that'll put us pretty close to 20%, which is actually fairly close to the 15-year median of 22% for this coming Sunday. But the following week, when we move through this Sunday through the next Sunday, that's when you plant about a third of the corn crop in that 1 week from April 28th through May 5th. And it's going to be tough to plant a whole lot in that period if this forecast holds up, which we think it will. So the planting progress report might not look too unusual come early next week, but a week after that and maybe 2 weeks after that, that's where you really start to see it.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
That, of course, is Mike Tenura. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois.